Yes, God, our Father, to help us to understand deeper the mystery of His work in our hearts, how He needs that we make choices and resolutions for getting rid of the things that are in us contrary to God, contrary to love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to Mary, asking her that humility that is our power before God and our trust. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And understanding that if we want to find God, we need to look for Him within, in the depth, in the center of our souls. Give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the tea. So, keep here, don't go, try to do the meditations, try to make the effort of every meditation. Without effort and determination, there is no meditation, as the Catechism of the Church was explaining to us very clear. So, is our lack of intensity one of the biggest problems in a spiritual life? Yeah, that we think that this is about like other things, and this is about God. And before God, you cannot go lukewarm, I mean, because it means that you don't have faith in whom is Him, I mean. Obviously, so the first point of everything is failing. The reason is very important that you give the steps. So do the steps, be humble, do the steps. God is going to work in you. I give you the 10% of assurance that if you do the steps and you follow what I am saying here, God will work in you. If you don't do it, I assure you in the 10% that things are not going to work. Because God works through obedience. So you don't obey. I mean, you're doing your things and thinking. That is not bad, I mean, to think. I mean, it's not bad, or reading things. But that is not the plan of God. The plan of God is bringing you to fullness and having an experience of Him here. And if that is not happening, it's because I am not doing the steps. Simple as that. Is clear? Any question about this?
So, Father, we do not do this, we do not believe.
Yes, I mean, it's, no, if you believe in God, you believe in His divine providence. So you need to keep in the will of God for you in this moment. That is some meditations that if you make changes in the points we are talking, I am not going now there because we have short time, all your life will change. All your life will change. But you have to make the amendments. And if you don't make the resolutions, the ego continue working. So you have, meditations are for making resolutions. So for understanding what is my weakness, what is happening inside me that is contrary to this meditation, and how I can get this in a deeper way. It's very important. So the prayer begins always with faith. Always. So you don't make an act of faith of who is God, you are not praying. You are thinking, you are meditating, even the word can be used there. The Buddhists meditate a lot, but they have no relationship with God. So you can be whatever, but you are not praying. So you are not in a personal relationship with the one who wants to show you His love and work in you. And the second thing, if you don't make an act of hope, and I will get a definition of hope, you can go to the Catechism 1817 about hope, and get the central idea of that is putting my desire of happiness in God, in the kingdom of heaven, in the union with God, so in heaven, And in all the graces that Jesus is going to give me, that is hope. I don't have that hope. I don't have real hope. So the reason the steps is very important because of that, because it's the way you open your heart to God and you stop being in the center of everything. You don't do that, then the prayer cannot work. If you are not getting humble in your prayer, I mean, God this day in the humble, when Jesus was talking out prayer, there were two guys. One that was praying to himself, you know, is the expression of Jesus. One was praying to himself, "Oh God, I give you thanks because I am not like others. I give you thanks because you have made me so good," and whatever things. I mean, and I pay this and I do this. I mean, and there was only one who was on the back and said, "God, have mercy on me because I am a sinner." And Jesus put it very clear. Only this was justified. So only this received the graces of God. That means to be justified. So if I am not in a disposition of humility, prayer is not going to work because Satan is going to pray with you through pride and your thinking and your ways of thinking. And the same with the purifying intention. If you don't purify your intentions, you cannot be in prayer because you're not looking for God. You're looking for yourself. And now you're not in prayer. So purifying these four steps are not things, are the only way of praying. It's the only way of praying. There is any other way of praying. Catholic Christian prayer, I mean, you can be Buddhist or other things and do what you want, I mean, or the Mohammed thing, I mean, that is very good for them, but they have no heart in their prayer. God is not love, God is the commander, and they are obeying what they might, even he commands them to kill 100 people that are innocent. They do it. Why? Because it's a kind of crazy thing, I mean, what is there? I know them, I mean, I have been treating with them, and they lie, they are able to lie to you, to steal you, and they don't eat meat. Okay? You lie, you are wanting to steal me, but you don't eat meat. That is the whole thing. It's all an external thing. Why? Because it's about the heart, but you need to open your heart to God. It's a very important thing in your life. And it's impossible without faith, hope, and purified intention. That means not looking for me, but for God, for the beloved. So whatever is coming in this moment is coming from Him. But I need faith to know that. Even if I am dry or I am not dry, it's coming from God. If you don't believe that, I mean, it's because faith is not working. So God works always and works in your concrete situation. But He needs that I open to the mystery of God in the mystery of what He's given me in this moment and He wants to give me. But if I don't take the obstacles, God is blocked. And it is now you. And this whole meditation that we are doing, the last one, you just have seen probably. I read it because I know that some people are afraid even of reading these things. Good. What I am doing with this. And this is so the offering of San Ignatius of Loyola. I mean, why these guys become saints? Because they did these kind of things. And these kind of things is not what is going to happen. It's freeing my heart from my ego. Because you are always looking for the desire of being honored, glorified, and applauded, and recognized, and valued. And they think that you are marvelous and very intelligent and very wise as me. I mean, I know it very well in me. But I mean, or I face this problem inside me, or I cannot be with God. Because in that moment, I am in the center of everything that I am doing. Because the desire of being loved, that is this, honor, glorified, prestige, recognized, valued, is getting my relationship with others. And cannot be loved when you are there. Can't be loved. Even with your wife or with your children or whoever. When you have affections and you have fun with people, this is not love. Love is a way in that I am giving myself totally to the other person. But if I, and you give yourself totally to the other person, only when you are the last and the least. When you want to serve the other person. It's, as Jesus came to teach us, I mean, if you want to be the greatest, be the last. If you want to be the first, be the server of all. Because the Son of God has not come to be served, but to serve. And do we have that desire in our hearts? I mean, do we have that desire when we are with people? Or we are the desire, oh, here I am, and here is my ego. I mean, it's crazy, but we are Catholic and we are there. And no relationship with God. And we are taking communion, the words are very strong, but if I am not in the disposition of Jesus in the Last Supper, that is being the slave of all, I don't know what I am doing when I take communion. It's clear what I am saying, because the Last Supper, we will celebrate in your church, probably, you go, you like to go to the, was not obligatory, the Holy Thursday. What is the Holy Thursday? The lavatory of the feet. Why St. John didn't put the lavatory of the feet why St. John didn't put the Eucharist in his Gospel? Well, he has a chapter that is a chapter 6, as you know, that is all about the Eucharist. But when the Last Supper, the time of the celebrating the Passover of the Jews, came, he didn't talk about the Eucharist. Why? Because the lavatory of the feet and the Eucharist is the very same thing. God in the last place. Are we wanting to be in the last place? No. You think that you can have a relationship with God without wanting to be in the last place? Continue thinking. But that is the only thing that you can get here. I mean, because God took the last place, and you know, it's all about his humility. But these are the words of Jesus there, just chapter 13 at the beginning. And it's all about love. It's because he loves, he takes the last place. I mean, that is what Jesus has brought to this world, is that love is serving. Love is wanting to exalt the other, not to exalt myself. It's wanting to show the other his beauty and his greatness, not wanting me to show my good I am, and that is becoming a seducer or becoming a mediatrix. We go again, all the things are connected. But it's there, I mean, I hear the words of Jesus, but more clear, I think there are very few passages in the scripture that Jesus is more clear. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour has come to pass from this world to the Father, so he was going to die. That is death for Jesus and for every Christian, passing from this world to the Father. He loved his son in the world, and he loved them to the end. The expression has no translation. This is a translation, but it's, you know, traduttore, it's an Italian word expression. Traduttore. Traditore, traduttore, traditore, okay, which means the translator is a traitor. Yes, because you are changing the word necessarily, because you are not the same words cannot be. So it's always there. But here, until the end, love then to the end means that he cannot love more. His heart of love was in the point of bursting. That is going to happen in the cross when the pierce with the how do you say
spear.
Lance the spear pierce his heart. In that moment, burst the love of Jesus and came the source of salvation for humanity from that heart that was full of love, full of the Holy Spirit. So he cannot love more. At the same time, the devil had already induced Judas' son Simon the Iscariot to hand him over. You know, it's always in the Eucharist, the betrayal. Always. Because I am betraying Jesus always. I am not following his path of humility. I am not following his path of serving others. I am not taking the cross as he took the cross. We are those who are betraying Jesus in every Eucharist. You can apply this word to you. The time he was betrayed. Why Judas betrayed Jesus? You think because the miracles? No, because he was showing them the mystery of the cross and the mystery of humility. And he hated that. And he betrayed Jesus because of that, as we do, as me, at least me, so many times. And here the words is chapter, verse 3. Fully aware. I mean, he can't say aware, no, he's saying fully aware that the Father had put everything in his power, so he can do whatever he wants. That the Father has put everything in his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, so fully aware of having all power for doing in his humanity what he wants, and fully aware of being the Son of God, so being God himself, that what he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. You know what is this? This is the work of a slave. And this is the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is not here. You're not going to find the Eucharist in St. John. You find that the Eucharist was going to be given. But he knows, also St. John knows, that the other synoptics talk about that the Eucharist. But he put this here for what? For understanding that are the same thing, that in the Holy Thursday, that is the day of institution of the Eucharist, is also the day of the lavatory of the feet. and the commandment of loving each other, because loving each other is this, is putting myself in the last place. It's difficult. It's not difficult. It's where God is. If you pretend to find God out of there, continue trying. I mean, you will never find God. God is explaining all in Jesus about where God is and how God works in us. You know, the prayer of Peter say, no, okay, what do you want? Wash me the whole thing you want to wash me. Eh? And he finished with this word. So when he had washed, in verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put his garment back and reclined on a table again, he said to them, imagine the awareness of Jesus. It's amazing how St. John, that it was the beloved disciple, were looking to Jesus. But the beloved disciple means that he's looking always to the mystery of God in Jesus. That means that he's the beloved disciple. Yeah? And he's the one who reclined in the heart of Jesus. Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. I mean, if I therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. As you can understand, he's not talking about washing feet. He's talking about love. And where love is. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I mean, it's talking about the grace of God, the action of God in the soul. I'm not speaking to all you. Big problem. No? I know those who answer, well, he's talking, why? Because of this, someone is going to betray him. And we betray him constantly. Because we don't want to be serving others. So, this amazing text. And here, a little later, in verse 24, I have given you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. But what is his love? Putting himself in the last place. Now we can try other things. It's all about humility. This is the first meditation we have now. It's about being humble. And taking the road of humility. So making choices. You have every day more than 40 humiliations. Every day. But are you embracing them for growing? Or you are getting in pride? Your body is a humiliation. I mean, that is the first one. But your life, getting older, is a humiliation. Knowing my limitations, knowing my incapacities, it's a humiliation. But I am accepting them, or I am going in pride. Because that's the problem of humiliation, that come, and instead of embracing them and knowing myself better, how weak and poor and little I am, I now try to escape from that. I mean, but every day, don't think in weird humiliations. Being our humanity is very little. It's very humiliating. I mean, it's many things that we have every day. So do the preambles, try to open him to his love for you, and try to go deeper in the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus, who is meek and humble. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, that being God, emptied and humbled yourself until death on a cross, to leave us a perpetual example to confuses our vanity and pride. Make my heart like yours, humble, able to love and to serve others in everything. I mean, God, only in humility we can love others. That is the mystery of salvation. God is humble. I mean, and the Eucharist is the most humiliating thing that exists. Yeah. So here the image, you can go there, is Matthew 27, 26, 31. Contemplate that Jesus in his passion, and go there, look in Jesus in his passion. This is Matthew 27, 26, 31. The text is enough for this, I mean. I mean, imagine what is the situation. You know what happened, no? Because we know through St. John more clear the development, the process of the things. No, Pilate don't want to kill Jesus. because if they are pushing him, he hates the Jews, first thing, and second, he understood that Jesus was innocent, that has no reason for killing him. It's a problem of religious that they don't like what Jesus was saying about religion. But he knows that he hasn't done nothing against the Roman law. So, and he was a Roman, so they try to be at least applying the rights of the law. They skip it when they want, but I mean, at least they were a judge for that. And he wants to do something to Jesus that when they see him, they say, okay, this is enough. We don't need that you do nothing more for him. And you know, there is coming the scorching. There is, you know what he did, no? It's there in this text. He gave Jesus to the Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers that got Jesus called all the court. So all the other soldiers to come there. This guy is pretending to be God. This guy is saying that he's the Messiah. Ah, come here, he has given to us. And they scourged him, he put the thorns. Imagine the things that they did to Jesus. These guys, that their life was killing people. So were mercenaries that were there for containing the Jews in their behavior and killing them if they have to do something. And this is the Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, the Almighty, is given to them. I mean, for being humiliated, for being destroying his humanity. And when he come back with this total, that I'm going to give you the car, I mean, this is in the movie, you know, it's not the reality, but it's approaching. Eh? When he come back, he say, Ecce Homo, this is the man. And truly he is, because the fullness he has in his humanity and the power he has for everything. Why? Because he was in the hands of God the Father, he was in the almighty power of God, and he was doing the will of the Father. And there is all power for him and for you. Because that is what he was praying before the Passion. First thing is, Abba, you are my Father, you are good, you are loving, you are love. You love me and I love you, you are my Dad. And that is his prayer during 3 hours. Second, for you nothing is impossible. You have all power. And now your will be done, not my will. This is the prayer of Jesus. And that is what Jesus gets in the prayer. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit, but keeping there in the hands of the Father, and knowing that all is coming from his almighty power and doing the will of the Father that was coming there. Because, I mean, this is the hour of the power of darkness. So Satan is working. Jesus put it very clear. And the ruler of this world is coming. So Jesus knows that Satan is working. But at the same time, he don't fix his attention in the power of Satan. He fixes his attention, and the Father, who is almighty, has a power that surpasses any evil in human history. And that is what he conquered through his prayer. And he insists to us, that is the lesson of the garden, that we cannot make the meditation. Pray constantly, because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is prompt, is at hand, is wanting to work. And so you don't fall in temptation. So here you have the litanies of humility that are on the back with the prayer that we have done. That is all the desire of being loved. So you can get a little deeper in that desire, how powerful is inside you. So go to the test. I mean, look what you don't need to make a long meditation. Look what we're doing to Jesus there. Look to the scorching. Look to the crown of thorns that they put him, and they hit him, and all the things. You can also go to Isaiah 53 for knowing in the 7 centuries before what they were doing to Jesus was sown by the prophet in a mystery way, that the servant of Yahweh. So that is Jesus, the Lamb of God. So try to humble this. Luke 18:9-14. So God took 2,000 years for preparing a humble people that trust in him. It's God that is, they are called the Anawin, as you know. This is the word of God for 2,000 years, creating a people who were humble and trust in him. You know, all the Bible is about that. It's God creating these people where Jesus was going to be born. And there were Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Anna, Zechariah, and some people who were there. And others were not there. But God created a people inside the people of Israel that is called the rest. of his remnant of Israel. Yeah? That is the Anawin, is the name they have in the Bible. But is there, it's a people who were humble, poor, and all their trust was in the action of God, and majority of Psalms are expressing it constantly. So, you can read this text that is amazing for me. One, my conversion was one of the most touching texts. Isaiah 53, 1-4. He had no form or majesty. So the one who is glory infinite and beauty infinite, he has no form or majesty that we should look at him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering, an acquaintance with infirmity. And this is what touched more my heart in this expression. And as one from whom others hide their face, he was despised. And we held him of no account. And we, where are we? Always looking for being looked by others and known by others and recognized by others. And he was, even the infinite beauty of God is him. The glory of God is him. I mean, and he, as one from whom others hide their face, and you are always looking for other people look you and desire you. I mean, it's crazy, but this is where we are. Is it somebody that you do that, no? You look to see him and do that. I mean, don't look to him. Why? Because it's disgusting or something. I mean, that is Jesus. Try to put there because you will see how many graces God will give you. So it's contemplating, and there go. You can do a very simple meditation that you can use a lot of times. In whatever passage of the Bible, we don't have many time here and we cannot go to concrete passage of the Bible, but here you can go to this passage and with you, or your senses, in your imagination, look and hear. So go to the scene that is meditated and the people that are in there and what they do and what they say. So think in the Romans, these kind of people, how they were. So bring there your imagination and try to think these guys who were around Jesus, what they were saying, the jokes that they will make about Jesus and what they are doing also to Jesus. And now look to Jesus, how he humbled himself in his humanity, in his body, externally. How he forgives, he suffers, he sacrifices, he's patient, how he loves is the core of everything. So looking to the people, but looking also how Jesus is reacting to that. And you can compare and go to your life. When they do you something, how you get. And they are scorching him. So imagine the pain. You know that in the movie of The Passion of Christ, one of the moments, the whip go out and hit him. And he was with such a pain, the actor, I don't know his name, yeah, that because that, I mean, imagine that all the body, as we know by this route of Turin, all the body is full of hitting him. And, you know, they hit him with balls of iron that has like little peaks. So get in the flesh and break the flesh. I mean, and that, and how he's reacting. And somebody's taking my place in some, and I get irritated and frustrated and with anger. I mean, please, try to meditate about the mystery of a God who has humbled himself some way and try to ask him to give a heart like his. I mean, only that. Look, his merciful heart that is going to finish in these words. I mean, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. I mean, what is the mercy of that heart of Jesus with what they are doing to him? And look to you not forgiving people and keeping resentments and anger with people and grudges and frustration. I mean, it's amazing. But I mean, and this is all the action of God has this very clear. This is not that he's Superman. This is that he's living from the love of the Father. And because he's living from the love of the Father, he's able to give the love of the Father to others. Because he doesn't do nothing without the Father. Look to his heart, how he suffers, how he loves, the humility and meekness, and the patience of that heart. It's amazing. And now, pass a little step. So the first is contemplating the scene and the people who are there. Try to put your imagination there. Second is look to Christ. First, his body. What is happening to his body? What they are doing to him in his body? And look now, his heart. So how he's reacting to all these things with love. And from that, pass to the person. Who is him? He is God. He's the Son of God. His person is divine. So the subject of the action who is suffering that is God Himself. It's God Himself, is the divine person. Because there is only one person in Jesus. So the one who suffered or received the action of others is the person. When they touch me, I don't say, oh, you have touched my arm. No, I say, you have touched me. Why? Because you have touched my person. I mean, the body is the person. And Jesus took our humanity in the divinity of His divine person. He shows us how God is like. That is very important. He's teaching you who is God. And now you can go to the text of John 1:1-3, seeing who is Him. And Hebrews 1:1-3 also. I mean, there are texts very clear about Jesus. Or Revelation 1:8, who is Jesus? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who is coming. And now, looking to who is Him, the Son of Mary. Also, you can look the heart of Mary there close, looking what they were doing to her son. And now, God, to the heart of the Father. Don't stop there. Who sees me sees the Father. I mean, this is God. He's revealing the mystery of the fatherhood of God. It's revealing the mystery, the most important mission for Jesus is revealing the heart of His Father and the love being of the Father. The Father is suffering in other way that we understand, and now move your affections. So go there, try to identify yourself with Jesus. So what is the humiliation of Jesus? So I give you some texts about humility. Only the humble can love. That is very clear. Love and humility cannot be separated. That is the mystery of revelation of God. God, love and humility cannot be separated. Even we try always, it's impossible. And that's what Jesus gives us to teach us and to give us the grace for not separating them. There's Philippians 2:1-10, you will see that the text is talking about love and finish talking about humility and the humility of God, of Jesus. Philippians 2:1-10, but it's beginning talking about love among us, about the communities, about the people. James 4:5-10. 1 Peter 5:5-9. 1 Peter 5:5-9. Ephesians 4:1-3. Ephesians 4:1-3. Colossians 3:12. And you will see, you go to the text, that always is connected with love. Always is connected with forgiveness and with mercy and with loving the others. Colossians 3:12. 1 Peter 3:1-17. Micah 6:8. Amazing text. I mean, the only thing that God is asking us to look for good and be humble. Micah 6:8. Romans 12:16. And Sirach 2 is our chapter about humility and trust. All the chapter. Amazing, beautiful chapter in the Old Testament about humility and trust and how God works there. Very important point, get this clear. Humility is humiliations. That is the only way of learning humility. You cannot learn a virtue without practicing it. It's a hard bread to eat, but it's very nutritive. What is in the stomach? That is an expression of Santa Teresa of Avila. I mean, it's a very hard to eat, to chew it, but when it's inside, it's very nutritive and has a lot of vitamins and everything. So, try to understand that humility is learned with humiliation. That reason Saint Ignatius make these choices is because they know that they have humiliations all along their life, but if you don't face them, you don't grow. So 2 Corinthians 12:9. Try to understand that text, that is, what are you boasting? What are you boasting? So I boast in my weakness. I boast in the power of Christ. God has come to teach us humility. God has come to teach us humility. Because without that, there is no salvation at the same time. You can read Mark 9:34-37. Mark 9:34-37, Matthew 20:24-28, Matthew 20:24-28, and Matthew 23:11-12. A I repeat the text, Mark 9:34-37, Matthew 20:24-28, and Luke 22:22-27. Even in the moment of the Eucharist, the disciples were arguing about the same thing always, who was the first and who was the best, and the most important. So even that is Luke 22:22-27. Chapter 22, verses 22-27. So you have, I gave it Matthew 18:1-4. Humility and the Eucharist, you can remind always that, cannot be more humble. I mean, the text we have read cannot be the. So make a dialogue with the most humble person that ever exists, human person, that was Mary. And the reason she is the most intelligent, because she is the most humblest. Have this very clear. I mean, because she is the most wise and the most intelligent, she is the most humble. I mean, the lack of humility, pride, is the most stupid thing that can exist. Because it's lying myself about myself. Do you think that can be more stupid thing? Lying myself about myself. I mean, if I lie others, I can get something, maybe. But lying myself about who I am, I mean, that is pride. But we are always there, that thinking that is. So, and God has looked the nothingness of her servant. That is what God loved in Mary, the nothingness of her servant. Luke 1:48. And with Jesus, I mean, I try to understand how humble he is. I mean, looking at the sin that is happening. And the Holy Spirit asked him for humility, because he took 2,000 years working in hearts of human beings for making a humble people of God. This is love. The other way of loving is embracing the cross. The second meditation you have here, that I'm going to give you, we go quickly because this is very simple, is being a Christian is taking a decision about embracing the cross. So embracing my crosses with Jesus, not alone. You want to follow me, Jesus is first, deny yourself, take your cross and follow me. Jesus is at the beginning and the end of the action. But I need to deny myself and take my cross. If not, you know, this is Matthew 16:24-28. If you want to gain your life, you will lose it. Matthew 16. But it's there. I mean, if you don't do that, we cannot follow Jesus without denying myself and taking my cross. So try to make a decision about the cross. The image that I invite you here is how Mary took it. When he was announced, you can go to the scene, that is when she was Luke 2:34-35. Behold, Simeon holding Jesus and making a prophecy. The child is appointed to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, a sign of contradiction, so that the thoughts of many heart will be revealed, wearing the cross, of course, and a sword will pierce your soul as well. Why? Because she is there with Jesus. Mary embraced suffering. She never go away from suffering. She suffered for the salvation of the world, as Jesus, of course. But the suffering is for obedience always. You have two texts, Hebrews 5:5-10, amazing things about obedience and suffering. Hebrews 5:5-10. He learned through suffering obedience, and obeying he has become to his fullness, and is the source of salvation for all those who obey. That is Hebrews 5:5-10. Also Hebrews 10:5-10 is amazing, but both talk about obedience. And suffering is part of all human life. If you think that you are going to live your life without suffering, okay, continue living in your head, because suffering is every day. I mean, there are a lot of sufferings in your life, as you know. And the interior sufferings are greater than the external sufferings many times. People who suffer internally, the greatest of all suffering is depression. It's an internal suffering. Nothing is happening externally, but the person is totally down. And without losing every capacity, is a sadness. But it's coming from that emptiness. On the majority of times, is because the person thinks so low about himself, because he doesn't know the love of God for her or him. I mean, but he's working it. As all things, it's open to that. So first thing is, suffering is part of all human life. That is very clear. It's very important to understand that, because you are every day. I mean, suffering, and when you get older, you will see. If you are more than 50, more than 60, I will say, and you don't have a pain, it's because you are dead. I know it. So, I mean, something is something ruling there. I mean, so first thing is suffering is part of human life. It's everyone suffers. Even the richest man in the history, he has to get older and to die. And also the daily sufferings that are the reason they get upset and angry, because they don't want to suffer. So how much we suffer because we don't want to suffer. Love in this history cannot exist without suffering. That is very clear. Love in this history cannot exist without suffering. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1-7. First, that is, I have no love and nothing. I am, my life is useless, and whatever I am doing is empty. So that is first thing about love. But now he begins to describe love, and love is all about denying myself. Oh. Feeling what is impatient. Patience is the contrary of feelings. Not getting account of the what they do to me, what is that? Getting account is feelings. Not getting account is being a person who is able to forgive. I mean, you go to all the words that he used for defining charity, and you will see that all are contrary to my ego. Hold them. And make it, suppose, an effort.
What was
that? That is 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 7.
And what is the petition for what we're doing here? What is that?
The petition is, O Jesus, Almighty God, who being God, emptied yourself, being wisdom, humbled yourself. So being God, emptied yourself. Being wisdom, humbled yourself. Who being joy and happiness, suffered the cross. I beseech you, my loving Savior, help me to make a decision before your cross and my crosses. To embrace eagerly the crosses, trials, or difficulties that you sent me, that I may be united to you and grow in love and in virtue. I mean, the other petition can be Galatians 6:14. My Lord Jesus Christ, may I never boast except in your cross. It's what St. Paul says. I mean, for that you need to have a heart like St. Paul, but it's there. So here the meaning of the things is that love is stronger than sin, than suffering, than death, and the power of Satan. That is the whole meaning of these things. So it's about love, it's not about suffering. It's about the power of love conquering every dimension in human life. So if we suffer for suffering, that means masochism. Probably it's a sin, a big sin. But we don't suffer for suffering, we suffer for love. I'm in love and through love. But sufferings are in your life. And it's impossible to grow and mature as a person without embracing suffering. This is the yes to love is the source of suffering. This is Benedict XVI in Spes Salvi 38. The yes to love is a source of suffering because love always demands new renunciations of myself, in which I let myself to be modeled and hurt. In fact, love cannot exist without this renunciation, which is also painful for me. Otherwise, it becomes pure selfishness and thereby cancels itself out as love. I mean, Benedict XVI is in Spes Salvi 38. Amazing encyclical also, if you haven't read it ever. It's about the hope. So encyclical about Spes Salvi means safe in hope. So believing that in Jesus, believing in Jesus means taking a decision about the cross. That is very clear. I'm not going to give you many texts, only St. Peter. So you have that St. Peter, the one who denies the cross at the beginning, you know, was, no, that cannot be. How you are going to go there? And Jesus said, go away from me, Satan, because you think as man, as not as God. In his letter, in the five chapters, he talked about suffering. And in some of them, several times. Imagine, there is something that was transformed there in these men because of the mystery of the cross. I mean, something was transformed in their lives that makes them so holy and so amazing and so powerful in whatever they did. And it was one thing, they embraced the cross. So you have to test. First is 1 Corinthians, that you understand the power, wisdom of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17 to 2 Corinthians chapter verse 7. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 to 2 Corinthians, so the whole thing is talking about the mystery of the cross. And these are the texts of St. Peter. It's also the first letter of St. Peter. So I am not going to repeat that. First letter of St. Peter is chapter 1, 6 to 7. Chapter 1, 6 to 7. Chapter 2, 19 to 25. So chapter 1, 6 to 7. So two verses. Chapter 2, 19 to 25. Chapter 3, 14 to 15, and also 17 to 18. Chapter 4, and the texts are amazing. I mean, the texts are amazing about how he talked about suffering. Chapter 4, 1, verse 1 and 2, verse also 12 to 19, and chapter 5, 9 to 11. It's amazing that the first letter of the Pope was talking so much. I repeat the text quickly. Chapter 1, 6 to 7. Chapter 2, 19 to 25. Chapter 3, 14 to 15. And 17 to 18. 14 to 15 and 17 to 18. Chapter 4, 1 and 2. So 1 and 2. And 12 and also 12 to 19. And chapter 5. 9 to 11. And always he's talking about God and the action of God and the power of God working there. It's not text about suffering. No, it's about God and the action of God and the power of God working in suffering when we accept it and embrace it. There is an expression that he said, this is your vocation. And he's talking about suffering. So if we are Christian and we don't embrace that, I mean, in the Holy Mass again, we celebrate also the sacrifice of the cross. So if we are not there with him, and in memory of me. So we are celebrating always the death of the Lord and the suffering of the Lord. And so we remind it and we don't forget that we have also to embrace ours. And you have the beautiful text of Colossians 1:24, how you can embrace your sufferings and enjoy and complete the passion of Jesus with through your sufferings. Colossians 1:24, St. Paul talking about him. Colossians 1:24. And also Romans 8:17. Colossians 1:24 and Romans 8:17. So the cross is the test of true lovers. Try to talk with Mary that was there. She didn't go off the cross. Jesus that take the cross for salvation of souls. And you can do more for your family, for your children, and for your wife and your husband, and for people that you want to save. The thing, greatest thing that you can do is offering your sufferings for them. The greatest of all things. More than praying, more than whatever. The greatest thing that you can do is offering your sufferings that are there with your life, that are in mine, and in every human life. I mean, whatever kind of sufferings, external and internal. I mean, this is the greatest thing that you can do in the plan of God. Try to embrace them because you have a lot of power there. I mean, for healing souls and bringing people to God. I mean, because God works everywhere, but especially through suffering, because Satan has a power there that if we open it to God, God works more in us. There are a lot of texts here, more than, because, I mean, the question of the cross, I finish with an example on this text of Pope Francis. My wish is that all of us will have the courage, yes, the courage to walk in the presence of the Lord, with the Lord's cross, to build the church on the Lord's blood, which was poured out of the cross, and to profess the only the one glory, Christ crucified. And in this way, the church will go forward. My prayer for all of us is that the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother, will grant us this grace, to walk, to build, to profess Jesus Christ crucified. Amen. Well, I think it was really, but the text is beautiful. So work it, I mean, make your decisions. It's always about the resolution. Have this very clear. It's not what is going to happen. Have this very clear. It's very important because Satan is very cunning. About humility and about the cross. It's not what is going to happen, because you are going to have humiliations and you are going to have crosses. It's how you are going to face that if you make decisions and resolutions in your heart. The thing is totally different. A person who is embracing the cross is always with joy and always with peace, because nothing disturbs him. A person who is not embracing the cross is always complaining and grumbling and with anger and a lot of things. Why? Because he doesn't embrace the cross, the crosses of his life. Because that is anger and complaining is that you are not embracing the cross, and everyone knows it. So we are good Christians. And the other thing is the same with humility. I mean, it's not that I am going to have humiliations. No, you are having a lot of humiliations every day. And you can grow a lot in humility, but you need to embrace it. So to don't refuse the humiliation that in your life and going to your head and keeping your pride alive instead of becoming humble. You have this text. This is about some saints and humility. Yeah. How important is in prayer and in spiritual life, Mama Teresa and Teresa of Avila and San Ignatius of Loyola. For me, the most powerful is the text of San Ignatius that is here in red. It's in the Constitution of the Jesuits. I don't know if they are living it, but it's in the Constitution of the Jesuits. And this is in the Kempis. It's about the cross. I like the text, no? Why then you fear to take up the cross, which is the road to the kingdom? In the cross is salvation. In the cross is life. In the cross is protection against our enemies. In the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness. In the cross is strength of mind. In the cross is joy of spirit. In the cross is excellence of virtue. In the cross is perfection of holiness. There is no salvation of soul, nor hope of eternal life, save in the cross. So there was a man they killed. This is a beautiful poem, American. I don't see if it is English. It's Take Up Your Cross, probably you know it. The Savior said, you would my disciple be. And I finish with an anecdote so you get the power of the thing. There was a man who they killed there. That is a real history. It was in Italy, like, 8 years ago, and this man they killed his wife, his daughter, and his granddaughter in the same crime. The people were downstairs, they killed them. I don't know, problems of whatever, noise or whatever. They get so upset and angry with the baby or whatever, or the girl that was there. And he was not there at home, and when they know that they were those downstairs, because one of them don't die immediately. Of the, I don't know who was of them. So, but the thing is that that man, they make an interview. He was a Christian, a Catholic, and say, what do you think about the penalty death? Do you think that it must be applied here? And he said, no, I have forgiven them already, because I learned from childhood that if I don't forgive, I cannot pray to our Father. And so I have forgiven them. Because I pray there that He forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. And the guy who was making the interview, of course, get upset with the answer. He said, you are not suffering? What is what your heart? I mean, where is your suffering? And he stopped him and said, you don't know how much I am suffering. But I learned also of something when I was a little Christian. I learned that the cross, when you embrace it, it carry you on. When you refuse it, it crushes you. And that is a very real truth. You don't embrace your crosses, you are crushing your life. As a man, as a woman, as a father, as a husband, as a wife. You embrace the crosses, you conquer everything, because the cross carries you on. And it's the Christian life, is that God is there in the mystery of the cross. So we try to open more to Him, because He was there, I mean, and we can use everything for opening to God. The humiliation that are in our life and the crosses that we have, every one of us. And you will continue having them all along your life until the last cross, that is the moment of your death. If you are embracing now your cross, you will embrace that very easy, because you will know the one who is guiding your heart. If you don't embrace the crosses now, you will not know God ever. So courage.